And welcome to the Steam Power Podcast. Chicka 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 chicka.
Live from beautiful downtown Southern Maryland, it's the Steam Power Podcast, episode number 64 for the 25th of April, 2015. We are a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the latest and the greatest and the quirkiest of science, technology, engineering, art, and math news, as well as the latest and greatest from the open source and maker movement. Steam Power, the power to change the world. I'm Mike.
I'm Lisa.
It's time to get
steamy.
I did that and I'm sick as a dog. I want to go on the record stating that I did not want to do the podcast today because I've been sick. And it's allergies, but
I've been sick too.
Someone over here is a taskmaster.
No, I've been sick too. I've been sick this whole week. I'm the one that probably gave it to you,
yeah,
actually.
Thanks a lot.
But you just have to forgive both of us because yes, we are both.
We feel like crap.
Sick, but tomorrow we have a couple little
crazy day
things with our daughters that's going on tomorrow. So
crazy day.
We would have been too late on a school night to join the podcast. So.
Yeah. So here we are. Snot rags and bad hair and everything.
It's all right. I think a lot of people have those this time of year.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. So
the cat's clawing me too. So
the cat's upset as well. It goes without saying. Just everything is great. I guess what are we going to talk about this week? There's been a couple of news things. I guess we should start with, my thingy that I got?
Yes.
So we can talk about this. And we sat here and watched this today together. It was romantic, beautiful. So do you want to talk about what it is, Lisa? Do you know? Can you explain it?
It's a toaster oven.
It's a toaster oven.
That solders things.
That solders things together.
I don't know what it's called. Reflow.
Reflowing.
Reflowster.
Reflowster.
Is that it?
That is it. So okay. This thing here. This little black box with, I guess these are called IEC connectors. The US version at least has a output on one side, USB, little display, little button, little switch, and then a thermocouple probe on this side and power in on this side. So basically you take, what do you call them? A convection oven?
A toaster oven.
Right?
Yes.
And then you plug this thing in between the wall outlet and the oven. And all it really does is sit there and controls very precisely the temperature so that you can do surface mount soldering using
a. And you just use a cheap toaster oven, like a $30 Target Walmart special.
It only works well with the cheap ones. If you try to use a fancier digital one, it will not work as well. You have to use a cheap one that doesn't have much logic or control because basically you're turning over the control of the oven to this box versus the setting. So you connect it all together. You put the thermocouple into the oven. And if you were to do a PCB, you'd put it right next to the PCB as possible. And after you put your solder paste on your circuit board and put the components on, and then what happens is you turn the oven to...
Now, you need a special type of solder paste to do this too, right?
Well, solder...
Solder paste.
You need solder paste, not solder.
Yes, okay.
So, right, you're not hand soldering. So, for me, you know, I've done some of the stuff before, but this is... Now, I'm starting to do a lot of stuff at surface mount. So,
I was going to say, what's the appeal of...
So, surface mount... So everything I've done with your soldering iron, and you sit there, they're called through-hole components. Mm-hmm. And I know I sound real stupid right now. Forgive me because it's my nose. Imagine your circuit board, there's little holes. You put the component, it's called through-hole because you put it in the hole.
Through the hole, yeah.
And then you turn it upside down, you solder it. Through-hole components tend to be bigger. Mm-hmm. So for like the first version of a prototype, it's really cool because it's easy to repair. It's easy to fix. But when you want to start going to production models, surface mount allows you basically to make things very tiny. And that's the appeal. And unfortunately, and for better and for worse today, you can only get components now in, especially sensors, they only come in these tiny little,
So you can't hand solder them on?
No. Well, some of the surface mount, the bigger surface mount stuff, you could probably. But when you start getting to things that are, they call them like BGA. Ball grid array, where the pins are actually underneath the chip. So there's no way to get the soldering iron under. Underneath. Because the pins are actually on the bottom. They're actually not even pins, they're little bumps. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Anybody that does any electronics out there can feel me on this one. And they will vouch.
But we sat there and we watched this box control the toaster oven today. And what it did was it heated it up to a certain temperature.
Slowly rise it up to a temperature.
Then it turned it off.
Let it sit there for a little bit.
Then it heated it up to a high temperature. Then it turned it completely off.
Completely off.
And it started beeping.
And beep and flashing the little blue LED.
Yes.
So basically there is
Basically you take your that's the point at which you would take your board out of the oven.
Quickly, just get it out there because you don't want there's a chance for the solder to start to reflow.
So it's like cupcakes or something.
Right. You want to get it.
Yank it out.
As soon as it gets that beep, 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 pull it out.
Yeah, you don't want your cake to fall and stuff.
You don't want to. Yeah. This is bad. Just like you don't want your cake to fall. You don't want your PCBs to reflow again.
Okay.
So this device basically makes it kind of like stupid easy. And they were a Kickstarter. They just launched. And the nice thing is that it's actually, it's in a project box that's very much, you can unscrew it and repair it and fix it yourself. So if anything goes wrong, you can fix it. And there's a micro USB, so you can program it to do other stuff too. A
lot of cool stuff on Kickstarter.
Yeah. Well, I bought it from the company. I missed the Kickstarter.
Oh.
So this is their actual first selling version. So that's cool.
We're still waiting on that.
Skirmos.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably not going to come till 2016 now.
And really?
Yeah.
Are they having trouble with it, or what's the issue?
I think what my as an outsider looking in, my gut is that they're a bunch of college age kids that are still trying to graduate college.
Oh, and they just don't have the time to put toward developing it, or
they don't. They have the time,
but they didn't realize it would get that. Much attention, and now they're trying to do it right. So
I think to their credit, they are trying to ship something that actually works. And I'm guessing that, and I'm still learning this too. Is kind of like it's one thing to make a prototype; it's another thing to do production.
Yes, and this is the laser tag,
and this is a laser tag system, which they've had videos. They just put another video up here last week. So they're up at University of Maryland, College Park, and they've got like I think 6 or 7 full versions, and they've been out testing it. I think they're doing the right thing. I think, you know, my guess is college kids' first real world project underestimated the production side of things.
Yeah.
And are trying not to get kicked out of college and maintain decent grades. So you put all those factors together, it makes sense. They're kids-ish, relative.
Yeah.
So I applaud them for not rushing something out just to get something out. I would rather them take their time and get something to work.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Anyway, Reflowster. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We also got Hulu Plus.
We have checked out Hulu Plus
this week, which I have been using. I like it because it has TLC shows on it, has Bravo shows on it.
And
I'm a reality TV junkie. I will admit, I like the stupid, look at my life kind of shows because it makes me feel good about my own life.
So just to clarify so you can't get these on Netflix, Amazon Prime.
No. Especially not Amazon Prime, no.
Sling TV is...
Sling TV is just live, right?
Yeah. All right.
No, Netflix has a few A&E shows, which I also like. And Hulu Plus does not have many A&E shows. However, Hulu Plus has the Bravo and the TLC, which Netflix and Amazon Prime.
We should probably sit down and see if we're getting nickel and dimed. It's probably just cheaper to buy cable.
No, these are older shows. Oh, like, okay. But yeah, that was actually something I liked about Hulu Plus is it had past seasons of some of the shows that I watched. Sorry.
I'm off screen for a reason. All right.
It had some of the past seasons of shows that I liked. So there were some that I hadn't got to check out the past season. So I'm kind of rewatching some of those. And there were some that I had seen that I'm just watching again. But it was kind of nice to not have the newer stuff that's on TV right now because I can just TiVo that.
So the value for you is in the older.
The older, yes.
Seasons.
The older seasons, yes.
All right.
Yep. Yeah, because I can just TiVo the newer seasons. So yes, the older seasons. So
Hulu Plus gets the thumbs up.
Yeah, so far it gets the thumbs up. And it has some of the older shows that Haley likes on there too.
Kids shows.
Yes, yeah, some of the kids shows. So it gets the thumbs up for now.
I'm feeling like turds. Turd bucket.
Well, we'll do a quick...
Shall we start the rundown of the
show? Sure,
stuff?
Yep.
So we can take our ugly mugs off the face. Nobody wants to see. Look at this.
Yeah, we're both looking kind of rough this week. Yeah.
It is rougher than rough.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to switch over to, this guy. All right. Now that you don't have to look at us, you can look at
Audible.
Audibletrial.com.
Which I'm still enjoying too.
You're still enjoying.
Yes.
Audibletrial.com/steampowerpodcast, where you can sign up for a free 30-day trial, where you can get an access to now over 180,000 titles. Good for your Android, smartphone, iPhone, iOS devices.
And if any of our listeners out there have any book suggestions, I would be glad to hear them because I have one or two credits on there that I'm not sure what I want to use them on. So if you have any book suggestions, I tend to like, I think maybe autobiographies or.
So you like.
I'm not a big fiction reader anymore. I used to be.
Back you watch in reality college. TV.
Yeah, I guess that's, yeah, I like that's my fiction. On, yeah. I'm just a reality kind of person, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed Amy Poehler's book. It was pretty good, and I'm in the middle of Bossy Pants, which is Tina Fey's book right now, but I would be happy to take any
suggestions.
I'm kind of looking for a book that has a little more self-reflection in it.
Mm.
Like, I'm kind of looking for something deep. So if anybody knows anything that
50 Shades of Grey.
No, I have read that. And that's that. You know what? That surprised me because I went into that book expecting not to like it based on all the hype and everything like that. And it pleasantly surprised me that I actually enjoyed it as a fiction book. It didn't have, I honestly didn't think it lived up to all the hype that it got from
the mom,
alternative mom, lifestyles and things girl. Like that. I didn't think it had much of that stuff in it at all, honestly. I mean, any good romance novel has more of that kind of stuff than this book did.
I don't know if I should be offended or excited for this fact that you're mentioning all this, that you know you're speaking with such authority.
And it surprised me. I mean, I went into it thinking there was going to be a lot of sex and no story, but it pleasantly surprised me that there was a decent storyline there and it wasn't overrun with sex. So that was a nice thing.
We're just going to end it right there. Audibletrial.com/steampowerpodcast where you can
sign up for your free
30-day trial.
Really good for the car.
Good for the car.
Yes.
You get our thumbs of approval. And just like a lot of people just end it with that. I tell you the whole details. So after the 30 days, you'll get charged $14.95 a month. You can cancel anytime, and any books you've gotten up to that point, yet you cancel.
You still keep the credits
forever, and the credits too. So like, say you go for 3 months and then decide to cancel it, and you have 3 months of credits. You can use the credits for stuff and keep those books, even though you're not going to get charged from there on out. Anyway, we like it.
Yes,
you like it. We all like
I do like it. I think I should probably start listening to more books and watch less reality TV.
I would not disagree. First story, it finally happened. Google has announced their cellular service.
Say hi to Fi.
Project Fi is Google is jumping into the MVNO arena.
So what is MVNO?
Mobile Virtual Network Operator. Okay. So they aren't going to go around the country and put up their own cell phone towers.
Okay, they no Verizon or
they're partnering like with T-Mobile and Sprint, at least for now.
Okay.
Because they're the underdogs.
It seems like it's Verizon against the world sometimes.
It's at least Verizon and AT&T. And,
well, honestly, you know, and I'm not, it's not that I'm speaking highly of Verizon because we've had our own issues with Verizon in the past.
I don't even want to start.
It's just, you know, it does seem like the other carriers sort of use Verizon as a punching bag sometimes.
Well, you know, I'll go on my rant here is that companies that have monopolies or are in a industry that is an oligopoly. You know, basically there's a bunch of collusion. You don't have to do customer service is crap. We would be happy with letting you guys get away with murder if your customer service didn't just suck. Just make your customer service better and we'll be happy to let you rape and pillage everywhere. But just,
and that's actually where we've had problems with
customer service.
Yes.
Well, I mean, and really all of them.
I mean, the one time that I had the phone that had an issue with it, it happened with an iPhone, and I took it into the Verizon store, and the guy said, okay, I'll send it away, and when it comes back in a couple of weeks, we'll see if our guys detected a problem with it. If they did, you get a free phone. But if they didn't, you're going to have to pay $600 or $700 for a new phone. And you have to agree to that
before we do anything.
Before we send your phone away.
Or,
so it's like I really didn't trust them to not just take my phone and say, oh, sorry, we don't see a problem.
Dipping in water.
Yeah, we're going to we're just going to charge her $700 because, and I took the same phone into the Apple store, and within 15 minutes, I walked out with a new phone. Yeah,
that's why I hate to say it.
And everything was transferred onto it. The guy at the Apple store was so friendly, so helpful. Everything the guy at the Verizon store was not.
That's why I stick with at least for phones, I stick with the iPhones because
Apple has excellent customer service. It's the
customer support.
Yeah, they really do.
So, anyway, let's get back to the original story.
Yes, that was a rant.
So, Google Project Fi, Google has teamed with T-Mobile and Sprint, whereby you pay $20 a month plus $10 for every gigabyte you use, unlimited calls, unlimited text messages, and then, again, you pay just simply by the gigabyte. So if you use a gig, up to a gig, it's $10. It's not up to. So what happens if you only use 1.5 gigs, you get refunded the $5 for the extra gig you didn't use. So your bill, you pay what you actually use versus, you know, unlike with Verizon, we used to pay for 4 gigs a month. If we only use 2 gigs that month, guess what? We're not getting any extra money back.
Yeah.
So, and the other cool technology in it is it's smart. So in other words,
it's smart. It's a smart phone.
It only works with the Nexus 6 phone, which is again,
is that the one that you see all over the commercials lately.
No, that's not, that's the Samsung stuff, as you see commercials.
Okay.
Google does not do a good job of anyway.
I was going to say, there's one that's just all over the...
That's probably a Samsung phone. It's an Android.
TV and YouTube and...
Yeah. So here's the cool thing. So you're sitting in your house. You're making a phone call. If you've got Wi-Fi at your house, the call goes through Wi-Fi. You use no data.
Doesn't Apple do that too?
They started with the Sprint, turned it on with the new... We haven't turned it on for Verizon yet.
Okay.
But yes. But say, here's the cool thing though. I then decide to leave and I go out and I see a Sprint tower. My call automatically transfers over to the Sprint network.
Okay.
If I keep walking and all of a sudden a T-Mobile tower is stronger than the Sprint tower, mm-hmm. I switch over to T-Mobile with no issue.
And why is that a good thing?
Because now you have the power of two networks towers to give you the best service. So you pay one fee, but now you have access to two cell phone providers.
Well, look, I'll be honest. Lately, and by lately, I mean in the last, I would say, year, maybe two, I have not had an issue at all with cell phone service wherever we've gone.
But on Verizon.
On Verizon.
We only have pay for...
On Verizon. And that includes, I mean... You know, different parts of the country. We've been down south some, over on the eastern shore, which there are parts that are kind of remote. I mean, I haven't had any issue whatsoever with Verizon. Is that an issue that T-Mobile and Sprint has?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure.
I know it's an issue that AT&T has, and Verizon that's from has... past.
At least in my experience, yes, it has. They cover more places. Now, the question is,
okay.
I mean, and the issue for us is because we live in a kind of rural.
I mean, I was going to say, though, but what would make me trade miles. My Verizon phone, which I've had absolutely no problem with, in for this Google phone?
If we
phone.
Lived up towards Waldorf, where all four cell phone providers would probably have the equal amount of coverage, mm-hmm. we'd probably be switching over to a Sprint or something.
Why?
Because it's cheaper.
Okay.
By a lot.
Okay.
That's what T-Mobile's doing, the cut your half and cut your deal and cut your plan in half.
Is that
deal.
Sprint or T-Mobile?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
Because sure. They're the low guy. They're the real. So we could go in with our cell phone bill and whatever it was, T-Mobile would say, fine. We cut it in half. There's your new for your same service.
Okay.
So anyway.
But then what happens when you need to get new phones and all that? You have to get a new phone, though, right? You have to give them.
It depends
your phone.
On which network you're moving from. From the and well, okay. They'll buy your phone. Like mobile, the big T-Mobile will buy, will pay for your early termination fees, and will buy your old phone so you can buy a new phone from them. I mean, they're really trying to get just numbers. They want the subscription numbers.
But if their service sucks, why do I want them?
Again, for where we live, it's a problem. If we lived up towards Waldorf, it wouldn't be a problem.
Except that, like, if I go visit my family over on the Eastern Shore, it's going to be a problem.
Well, then nobody works over there. Anyway, the point is...
And doesn't Verizon do... Verizon to Verizon customers don't right. count against your...
Well, it doesn't matter now because you have unlimited minutes.
That's right. That's true, I guess.
This is what the whole game is being played out right now. So the good
it's
news is...
It's a little confusing.
Google is going to interrupt... So here's what it is. Verizon has actually been losing customers pretty
yeah.
What's... Oh God, I'm so sick. Pretty...
Steadily.
Steadily, thank you. So hopefully this, for us, puts a hot poker in Verizon's butt to...
Maybe
lower
cut some
costs
yeah.
or offer more for the same price or something. But anyway, hula, hoorah to Google and welcome to.
Now, why would you want a Google phone though? Is that different from an Android phone?
No, it's an Android. It's the nice thing about a Nexus device is it's stock Android. There's no crapware on it. They just, here's our exact.
See that? Can you get an iPhone with it?
No, right now it only works on
that would be an issue for me.
Six.
Yeah, that would be a big issue for me.
But they're in the world.
Not that I don't like Android. because I had Android for a while, but I really like Apple, so.
Well, there you go.
Just I don't know what I would do without my iPhone. I don't think I could switch over to a Android device and enjoy the same level of.
Well, then you wouldn't be right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the right thing for me.
All right, let's move on. Next story. Another speaking of big companies and changing and oligopolies. Comcast has officially ended their bid to acquire Time Warner.
That's been in the works for a while, hasn't it?
So this would have created like a 60%. One company owns 60% of the internet service in this country. And as everyone knows, Comcast owns NBC, which is a content creator. So they would have – this was just a bad deal. The problem is Comcast is a monopoly in both vertical and horizontal, and they need to be broken up. But no one wants to do that.
Yeah, Comcast has a huge –
they're just as bad as customer services, like every – like the Verizons and
yeah,
the
AT&Ts. Yeah, Comcast is a huge thing.
But thankfully the
– although we can't get it down here.
The FCC and the FTC – yeah, it's kind of funny.
Comcast is so big, but can't get it in Southern Maryland.
Yep.
At least not where we live in St.
The FCC and the FTC put out enough of warning signs that this deal wasn't going to get blessed that Comcast just said, you know what, enough is enough and we're done. And
okay.
That's good. Because you look around the country, right? And look at where. Pulling out, if it's T-Mobile or if it's Verizon or if it's so, like if you're spending like $150 for service in, say, Tulsa, Oklahoma, for a certain level of Comcast service, if you're say competing somewhere in Salt Lake City where Google Fiber's at, it's only like $80.
Wow.
Holy crap. Who would have thought? Competition.
That's what we lack down here that kind of boggles my mind, that why does our county allow one cable company to have
a monopoly like that? That's what blows my mind, especially countries that are considered quote-unquote conservative. Man, we are more...
Of one, and that's
socialists
it.
Socialists.
Yeah, and that's all that's allowed. Yeah. It's, if you want cable, you get MetroCast. And
that's my mind.
End of story.
Well, yeah.
You know, you're screwed if you want anybody else, and that's just, you know, it's...
I would say the issue is
you can't get anybody
there's
else.
There's popular conservatism, and there's big business.
I gotta wonder if they...
I'm sure someone's getting paid.
Yes, because... things that nobody ever, it's sort of like just bother asking questions.
Right. Well, the issue is cable companies were given certain guarantees by the FCC because the issue was to lay that much money into cable and fiber and copper. They needed to ensure that they were going to get recoup some of their costs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They've recouped their costs and then some and then some and then a whole lot some. So the point is, because the government created this boondoggle to begin with, it's going to take government regulation to fix is for the government to say, guess what, guys, you had your 30 years, you made all your money back, now you have to compete with each other. The FCC has made steps to do that. They have announced that they're going to reclassify broadband as a Title II, which means they can regulate it or deregulate it or however you see that. And the government came
in. Oh, yes. My dad remembers that when I was
we spend $14 a month for unlimited phone calls to anywhere in the US, Canada, mm-hmm. Europe. So that's the thing. It's like people didn't. It took many years on cable television is that we have to break the back of these big companies, the Bob Bells of
our day. But, you know, Metrocast isn't really a big company.
But they don't have to compete. It doesn't matter how big or small.
That's
true.
You
don't have to compete. You don't have to
compete. But they're only – it's like they're only county in Maryland, I think they're in. Maybe they're in Charles. I'm not sure. But then they're based in, like, Massachusetts or something. Like St. Mary's County is the Vermont. Only county in Maryland they have or something. Yeah, it's a very weird breakdown. And I asked somebody one time that was in, you know, sort of the know about the government stuff in our county, why we only had one cable company. And she said, well, there was not any interest anyway. You can't tell me that Comcast or something wouldn't want to come down here.
Right. Well, they,
when they're already in all the neighboring counties.
Well, see, and here's what so as an engineering understanding of legal parts of technology, broadband internet into Title II. That means it's called common carrier, which means now you have to lease your service, your lines to me, and I have to be able to lease them to you. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if this goes through, Comcast doesn't have to come out and lay its own fiber and its own cable. Mm-hmm. They can run on top of Metrocast's
fiber. It's okay.
And so we I want Comcast. I'd rather have Comcast than Metrocast. I'd rather have Google Fiber. More than anything.
Yes. Anyway, I agree.
Can we move on?
Sure. I'm done
ranting. So this time next week, Tesla is going to announce.
Why does it seem like every week we have something with Tesla?
Because I love Tesla. They're going to announce.
You love Tesla and you love Elon Musk.
For your house. Is come in like they're doing.
Like in your house,
right?
Okay.
Or on the outside of your house.
Okay.
And the idea would be like a generator.
Okay.
And the other neat thing is.
So they store energy until your power goes out and you need it.
Or it'll fill up, it fills the tank up. Because you don't pay the same rate throughout the day. Electricity is cheaper at night than it is during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is they say fill up during the night when the electricity is cheap. Mm-hmm. Then during the day,
the electric companies against this.
Yes, because in Hawaii they are actually trying to ban new people from putting solar on their houses because. Hawaii really? Has lost so much. The utilities in Hawaii have lost so much money from people installing solar.
Because are they running off the power from their house?
Everybody in Hawaii puts solar panels in their house, uh-huh. Batteries in their. Quote, on the grid.
Yeah.
That's great for the homeowner because now
I'm but not great bill, for the electricity. But
the electric company. Utility yeah. has, you know, there is some level of in order to just pay their bills.
Yes.
But they're at the point now where they're not being able to pay. Crimea River.
Yeah.
That's you know, how this I is feel how too. Innovation happens. It's better if everyone can be self-sustained. And then we don't have to worry about because then when there's no such thing as the power going out because someone 15 miles up the road.
But couldn't the electricity company say, hey, it's our battery?
No. You're, you're with solar, you have solar too. You would be charging renewable.
No, I mean this Tesla battery.
The issue is that they're still making money. They're not making as much money.
So don't you think?
Boo-hoo, you got to.
No, people are going to have these batteries in their house potentially charging up at night. They're going to jack up the night rate for electricity.
They might. But then you have like us where we are a co-op down here. You, as members, we quote unquote own our utility. We could throw out the people that did it.
It doesn't have any effect on the decision.
You can reverse the decision when you elect a new board. The point is, bottom line, changing in communications, energy, and it's going towards where people are going to crap out of big business. Not trying to be one. I'm not one of those left wing completely. I'm a huge capitalist. I'm a huge free market, open. Taking a big business and you know, just letting them survive because they're quote unquote too big to fail.
So
if you can't keep up with the times, you deserve to fail.
Now, I know we looked into the Solar City thing a little bit. Is it just based on the fact that we may not be here?
It's because
in the next 5 to 10 years, because we're not completely.
The devil is in.
Or is that something like the Solar City thing in 2 or 3 years, the next homeowner may not want to deal with this? Because to me, it sounds like a great thing. It sounds like something anybody would want to have. This built-in generator for your house. I mean, why wouldn't you want to have that?
So the question,
it's not like big solar panels on your roof that some people might be like, that's ugly. I don't want that. And
basically, how much is this going to cost? And then what's my return on investment? If I can get a return on my investment in a year or two, then I may go ahead and install this. If it's something that's going to take 5 to 10 years where we're getting out of here and I'm going to buy another house later. But at the end of the day,
innovation. But I mean, this may be one of those things where you don't know what your hurricane or a snowstorm or something that would knock out power that would cause you to need to run off the battery.
Well, no, right. You would have to look at it from the during the day.
You would have to look at it as a. Of a generator,
at it from the decision. Oh, that depends. I mean,
they have smaller ones that people could use as generators versus bigger ones that people could use to run entire house off of?
The rumors that they're going to invest. Trailer trucks? What's the word? 40 feet long trailers?
Tractor trailers.
That, yeah, they're gonna have something as big as that that can run things like shopping centers.
Where would we even put that? Not a house battery.
Right, those are things that would run.
So like run a Walmart or something. Okay.
Or things, and then probably something that would run a house would probably be like maybe the size of a refrigerator.
All right, and where would you put that in your garage probably or something? Garage.
Battery technology, and they're branching out beyond just cars, and I think that's a good thing.
Okay.
Next story.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of cool.
I am getting tired. I'm going to real quick. NASA has 3D printed a copper rocket engine part for the first time. It's a 3D printed object that will go into one of their rockets. So first time ever. There's also something, there was another story on it. I couldn't find it back up, but an engine part for a jet engine. First time 3D printed, I think it was Boeing. So basically we're getting to the point now where 3D printing was used for prototypes. Now we're starting to see 3D printing actually be used. Story. This is a scavenging.
Oh, the scavenging for art.
Tell me about
this. This is a cool little video if you have time to watch this. It's like a 3-minute video, so you may need to pause it if it starts up. But basically what they're doing is I think the hashtag for it is like Free Art Fridays or something in areas like New York City. You're going to have to pause it.
I'll mute it. I'll let it play.
Yeah. Keep going. Certain artists are making work that they're giving away for free. And what they're doing is they're making a scavenger hunt for you to find. Taking a picture of it and then tweeting it out with the hashtag like Free Art Friday or something like that. And then you have all these people who are waiting for these tweets, and they go around to these spots trying to find, and basically the first person that gets there gets to claim the artwork.
So this is like geocaching, first time
finder. First time finder gets the art.
Geocaching.
And you get to keep it.
That's cool.
It's your art.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I think it's a really neat idea. I would love to see it happen in D.C., Baltimore, you know, big cities near us, but I think New York City is a perfect place. And it's a fabulous idea for lesser known artists to get their name out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Scavenging for art.
Yes. And it's like I said, just watch it's a 3-minute video. And it explains it probably a little better than I just did. But it's a really neat concept.
Cool. I like that too. All right. Scientists create the sensation of invisibility. So if I read this correctly, they put on a pair of virtual reality goggles.
Yes.
That takes in the surrounding area. But when you look down, you don't see yourself anymore.
Yes.
So that's. You are perceiving yourself
as not there.
As not there or invisible.
Yes.
And what they're saying is that this somehow alters your
brain state. So in thinking, yes, it alters your reaction. That's probably better, not your brain state, but your emotions and your sense of reaction. So people were more apt to not feel like they had to engage in crowds and things like that if they weren't there or, you know, if they perceived themselves as not there.
Yeah, this one, I have to admit, I had to read it like 4 times because of like.
It's a little confusing at first.
What you're thinking, like, it's not about invisibility in the sense of I'm not.
Yes, it's not invisibility in the sense of you can't see me. It's that you think
you perceive yourself.
You perceive yourself as invisible.
So that's kind of
you know that other people can see you still. However, when your brain gets tricked. Reality, it creates a different response in your action and your emotion. It's an interesting read. If you can get through it, it's an interesting read. It really is.
But the bottom line is that they're trying to. I go to the bottom when I get to read the last episode. Looking for ways for developing new therapies for people with social anxiety.
Anxiety, yes. And you know, obviously, you can't go out in a crowd with these big, huge virtual goggles on and all this stuff. But what I read it as they're trying to develop it. Smaller technologies where glasses or something like that, which can play a smaller part in tricking your brain into thinking that you're not quite all there. It's an interesting science. I know science, psychology. Into thinking something that is a known fact, if you can convince your brain the opposite, it really opens up so many doors for therapies and even, you know, not medications, but ways to treat things. And it just, I think it's fascinating.
Interesting. ScienceDaily.com.
Yes.
Folks are located in Sweden. Sweden's Karolinska Institute, a team of neuroscientists.
Because you would butcher them.
I will beyond butcher them. That's cool. That's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting.
And kind of in the same vein or ish about, you know, I guess adapting your environment. Light sensitive clothing takes us back.
Wasn't it my story? Was
it not?
No.
Basically, it's clear, and then it.
Remember back in the 90s, those jackets that people used to wear, and maybe it's just me because I live so close to ocean. Or the quicksilver, yeah. But they're like purple. But then when you were out in the sun, they changed colors.
Right.
I can't remember what the name of those was, but
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I want to. I know it's not Quicksilver because that's like a skating company, but
it's a company. They're called let's see here, Credit, and they're starting a line of clothes. Shredder's over or not, but it's not just a chemical reaction. I guess there's apparently there's built-in electronics, and it says, you know, dyed garments, photochromia clothing can stand up to wear and tear and won't highlight your pit stains.
Oh, apparently okay.
An issue in older ones.
Maybe.
It's really sensitive to light. Not.
Oh, I only remember it on like those loose-fitting lightweight jackets. So I don't know how that would apply.
Let's try to raise money. But. Let's see here. Let's go on their Kickstarter. Did they make it? They were trying to raise, looks like, $25,000. Oh, they're 11 days to go, and they're about
$2,500
short. Folks out. We'll put the link into it. 11 days to go, so they'll probably make it.
I think it's cool. It's a cool concept. I'm not sure that it's something I personally would go for because I'm not that fashion forward, but I think it's a cool concept. I think it kind of shows where the whole, you know, wearable technology thing is kind of going in that direction right now.
I guess it disappears or reappears depending on the light.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
All right. Reading.
This was my other story, yes.
Reading, math, and JavaScript.
And this is actually a story from last year.
Story in English.
But I thought it was interesting. Because
all children between the ages of 5 and 16 in English public schools are now learning computer science, not just how to use software, but how to create it too. Teenagers will have to master at least two programming languages, Java and Python.
What do you think about that? World that we live in. There is so much right now that is tied to computer science and computers. And I mean, just think I'm sure there's a lot of kids still in the United States that and just think of how lost those kids are going to be in the high school years when you have to do certain projects and presentations and computer a lot will have a leg up on those kids. But these kids are actually going to know how to, you know, these are the future app writers in the future. I think it's a great thing, honestly. And I sort of wish the United States would follow suit. I know they won't, but I wish. Right now, I think the focus on public schools is education.
You're starting to sound like me.
I think that there are ways they could tie this into a math curriculum and have it be more fresh and more current than what they teach kids now that kids are going to rarely use.
Right. I mean, the issue that we're right now is we teach things because it's the way we've always done it.
And some of the homework that our daughter brings home, we don't even know how to do. Because the way that they want them to do it is such a funky, and, you know, we look at it and we're like, what? And honestly, you think to yourself, when are these kids ever going in this way?
Manner, right.
You know, yes, you need to know your multiplication tables. Yes, you need to know your, you know, measurement system and all that kind of stuff. That stuff is important. But when you get into some of the long multiplication division and all that, we've got calculators.
Well, it's not, I get,
you know, why spend so much time on that?
Well, it's not so much, it's that the fact that they ask the kids to like know 18 different ways to do
this. Yes.
You got to find what works for you and then stick with that. I don't know how to do it, but now you want me to do it a different way just because you want me to learn a new different way. And I think that's stupid because
and let me be clear,
that's not how the real
world works. Some of our readers, your public school system may not have that curriculum. With the curriculum that we have right now, and it's late and the name escapes me, what Common Core, yes. That is one of the hallmarks of Common Core is that you learn different approaches to a subject.
Right, and I think what happened, someone along the line got confused.
Someone got a little carried away. Okay,
we need to teach different ways so that kids can learn.
Exactly. And our daughter was having a problem with that because there were some things she figured out the other way. And to be honest, we were kind of bucking the curriculum, just saying, do it the way that you know how to do it. Right. Don't worry about knowing a million different ways. If you know how to do it, then that's how you do it.
Having been in the
military, I think I would fail out of elementary school now if I had to go back, honestly.
Some teacher upset and some academic administrator upset is the least of my, literally the least of my
concerns.
Yeah, I mean,
the teachers are just
After eight years,
they really are.
Here's the thing.
A lot of them have the same concerns as the parents, and a lot of them don't want to particularly teach it that way either, but they have to.
Here's the problem, though. No matter what, and at least here in the United States, after 18 years, unless you like murder three people, you're going to get your high school diploma. Point. The school system and society says, guess what? Congratulations. You're now ready for the real world. Well, guess what? You're not. You reading math and JavaScript. I like it in theory. To me, it's one of these things that, just like we're talking about here, the devil will be in the details of the implementation.
That's true.
Because two things. Because knowing how slow schools move, if they develop a curriculum that's around based on, let's say, Python, right? Well, if in 3 or 4 years Python is no longer a language that gets used in the real world and they still teach it, then you're
doing a disservice to the kids. Right? Yeah, I agree.
In other words, if computer science matures, and it does really fast, you have to keep up. So here's my thing. If they tie it to
learning... However, are you more inclined... Let's just play devil's advocate here. Are you more inclined to keep up with it if you already have a basis of knowledge in a language?
Right. My point is...
So these kids, even if they aren't keeping up with it at the rate of which it's changing, does just the fact that they know any language help them out later?
I recognize that, right. I learned it today, and 5 years from now it's going to be different, but I'm not going to go back and repeat my third grade curriculum. No, I understand that, and that's goodness. My point is to learn the computer science concepts, you know, how to think systematically versus the nuances of this is how this particular programming language works. So yeah, I hope my hope is that the kids learn how to think algorithmically and they learn how to think through problem solving. I don't want them to become my point. Is, I don't want them.
And
to
don't you think Python at least some gurus. Of them are?
Yeah. And I think overall,
I think honestly, to me, it just seems like any curriculum and any kid and any teacher, you get what you put into it.
Right. There are
going to be kids who go above and beyond and do learn how to think algorithmically and things. There are going to be kids who just do the very basic, okay, I got my code right and that's it. And I don't want to know exactly how it works. I just know I got it to work, period.
I agree.
I mean, that's the way it is with any subject.
So I think there is good. Now, my other point would be, though, it's not just the pro. I think there should be teaching hardware as well as the software. But that's just me because I'm a hardware guy. But anyway, yeah, I think bottom line, there is good. Yes.
It's definitely a start. And I honestly wish that in the U.S. we would follow. Our curriculum just seems like it's stuck in the 1950s. It just honestly...
Our curriculum is stuck in the 1850s.
It is. I won't say it anymore. You know, they make the kids use computers a little more. It's a little more. It's not a lot. Just a little bit. Just enough so they can say they are... But, you know, maybe instead of focusing so much on writing or certain things like coding or computer science or things that could actually help the kids get a job when they get out of school, instead of just teaching them basic 1800 ways to do a math problem that they're never going to face in the real world anyway.
Right. That's just, I'm not going to go continue my ramble. Say that one more time. But yeah, we'll follow up that.
I think we could both rant about this one for a while.
All right. I'm just going to hit my last story that I wanted to, because the talk's been about how science.
I used to do a lot of curriculum writing myself, and I could go on.
Real science works. Everyone likes to think you come up with a plan, you execute plan, and make scientific discovery. I'd say 80-90% of the stuff in the world that we've discovered and the improvements we enjoy in oh crap, I didn't know that would work, or oh crap, I wasn't studying that, but this could work for that something. So the point is, this story is about we've invented a potential replacement for cement, and it started.
This is how a lot of medical breakthroughs happen, actually, right? So, as accidents.
Yep. So basically, there was a dude at the University of Arizona who, in the early 2000s, they were studying ways to capture CO2 because really sucked up CO2 a lot. But then it was doing, it started to bubble and spit and do all kinds of,
Okay,
it's good, but it probably didn't work to what we wanted. Guess what? It's actually, it makes a very freaking great cement. And here's numbers. That's interesting. Things. Here's the numbers things. Has used, in the last 3 years, China has used as much cement as the United States has.
Wow.
So there's a big need for cement.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what the, I think
that kind of blows my mind.
That's, well, that's the problem because they're making buildings with 3D printers out of cement. They're 3D printing cement.
Wow.
So that's the thing. It's like a lot of people don't realize just really how fast China.
We sit here you know, I knew China was growing fast. You know, don't get me wrong. I knew China was growing fast. But to say that they've used as much cement in 3 years that we've used in 100 years kind of blows my mind.
The United States used since 1915 to 2015.
Well,
so if you think about that. That means when did the U.S. probably have a big explosion with cement use? Probably the post World War II Eisenhower. Think about that. All that. Yeah, that's but don't chunk chain in the fact that China in the last 3 years. So anyway, the cool thing is that cement, with the process of making cement.
And there are still parts of China that are so remote, too. I mean, this is just in constant.
True, but then we always tend to forget about our own backyard. Okay, you're right. We talk about the United States is great. But then you think there's states like Alabama and Mississippi.
Or Nebraska.
And North. You know, I'm just country.
North Dakota. So I get that. Yeah,
we think
there are parts of the U.S. that are remote too.
Not as developed. We think
in China, I think it's a little more exaggerated because, yes, there are parts of the U.S. that are remote.
Their population numbers.
Right. But in China, you actually have places that are remote culturally.
The U.S. has a lot of different
cultures. No, not to that extent. Yeah, 400-year-old cultures that are still firmly rooted.
Oh, China's
in society.
Thousands.
Yes, you still have rice farmers that are picking.
Right.
At the time out of their, little patties or whatever it is. More even in the remote areas than China. There's just these little pockets of pal that just are
But Hong Kong,
Shanghai,
Shenzhen for the IT electronics. But the U.S. has the same thing. We have these places that are pockets that are growing. There's San Francisco, New York City, Boston.
Not as much, D.C., though. Not as much.
Dallas.
And maybe San Francisco. If you count
pockets, just
places like Cupertino the IT infrastructure.
Yeah.
But other than those two areas, no. I would say the U.S. does not have areas like that that are just growing exponentially.
Oh, no, the U.S. is not growing as nearly any as, and that's our problem. The infrastructure.
You don't want to have that problem.
Put in the 1940s is good enough, and it's not. Anyway.
Except we don't want to have the problem where we're growing as fast as China is, because that's put a huge strain on them with their, just their system.
Anyway.
They have, yeah, they have other issues related to their growth and
buying some of it's called Ferroc, Ferroc. The cool thing is, he's selling it now under the brand Ferroc. The cool thing is,
Can you go in Lowe's and buy it?
I don't know. I'll have to go check it out.
Hmm.
It actually absorbs carbon dioxide. So to cure it actually needs carbon dioxide. So the cool thing is that it's
sucking. Does it crack as much as cement? Or
I don't know that the long term, you know, maintenance.
Hmm.
But anyway, it's cool.
Interesting.
Holy crap, we've gone for too long.
I know we ended up going for pretty long tonight.
So with that, I'm going to wrap it up.
Yep, we need to wrap it up and get in bed.
steampowerpodcast.com
with our humidifier and Kleenex
amazing
Vicks Vapor Rub and all that.
So is there anything else that you need to put out?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, so head over to steampowerpodcast.com. You can find web feed. So if you're interested in following that,
we'll
put the links to Reflowster and everything else. So with that, thank you all very, very much for listening. And I guess until next time, stay quirky
and keep it steamy.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.